When Cheryl was in grade 6, her body started to change, and she wrote about it in her diary.
Dear diary, I have to get a training bra because today at school, Jenna told me she could see my tips. She pulled me aside after recess and whispered it in my ear. At first, I didn't know what she meant, but she was looking down at my shirt, so I think she meant my boob tips. It made me laugh because we're learning about sex ed, so why is she so scared to say nipples? Nipples don't embarrass me, and I've been showing mine to everyone.
That's Cheryl reading from her grade 6 diary. And this is Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. I'm Dan Meisner. Each week on our show, brave Canadians get up on stage and read diaries, poetry, creative writing assignments, and awkward pubescent journals. This week, recorded live at the Company House in Halifax, Nova Scotia, we have science fairs, snobby cousins, and a real-life story about teenage witches. So whether you are a teenage witch or not, I want you to think about the stuff that you wrote when you were a kid, the stuff that might be hiding in a box in the closet, and stick around. A minute ago, we heard from Cheryl all about getting a training bra, but that's not all Cheryl wrote about in her diary.
Someone who's in this entry is actually here, my best friend from 6th and 7th grade, Sarah. So sorry to reveal this awful secret we both have, Sarah. Okay. This is two entries that take place 2 weeks apart. First entry. Tonight, me, Sarah, Jessica, and Brittany watched The Craft. It was really cool. It was about these four girls who are witches and also best friends. It got sort of scary at the end and everyone turned on each other, but me and Sarah decided we should have our own coven, but we will always be nice to each other. This weekend, we're going to steal some wine from Brittany's mom and put our blood in it. I hope my mom doesn't find out because she would be mad, and I don't think Jesus would like it if I was a witch. Two weeks later. Today, something crazy happened. Me, Sarah, and Brittany were in the woods behind our street having a witch meeting. We had some candles with us and put them all around us on the train track. I don't know why, but Sarah picked up a pink one, which stands for love, and turned it upside down. She was saying, "The fire of love is still burning." And then it caught some leaves on fire. We all started stomping on them, but it was really dry. And it got out of control. Brittany said I should run to the McDonald's and get some water to put it out, so I went in and asked for a cup of water. The guy asked me if I wanted ice, and I yelled, "I don't care!" He gave it to me, but when I ran out, the fire was already really big. Sarah and Brittany were still trying to stomp on it. I tried to help, but my shoes got melted, and Brittany's bag got burned. We had to run away because the fire department showed up. It was a huge fire. We ran back to our street. A fireman asked us what happened, and I said, "We were just in our treehouse, and we saw some teenagers smoking. And one of them threw their cigarette into the dry leaves." I don't think he believed me because my face was all black, and they probably found our candles. But we didn't get in trouble. I hope my mom doesn't find out. Thank you.
Kids love hearing stories about themselves. Tell me about when I was a baby, they'll ask. Tell me about when I was little. I think part of why we enjoy childhood and teenage writing is that it offers a sense of continuity. It's a reminder that each of us came from somewhere, that our identities are rooted in something. For some of us, that desire to tell and be told stories about ourselves comes very early. Here's Eric with an autobiography he wrote when he was 5 years old.
And if it helps, you can picture a five-year-old with a really large head and an eye patch writing these. Today is Monday, February 24th, 1997. This story is about my life. When I was in my high chair, when I was two, I fell out of my high chair and cracked my nose. It was all bloody. When I was three, I was having a bath with my mom and my brother and my sister, and my brother's friends were outside and they said, "Let's have a party for Eric." And I jumped right out of the tub and ran outside bare nassed and said, "Yell surprise." And they were laughing their heads off. Entry number two. From now on, my name will be William. I love that name. It is my middle name. It's also spelt wrong. My family calls me Earwig. I hate when they call me that. I lost a toenail last night. I put it under my pillow. The toenail fairy came and gave me a toonie. It was made in 1996. It has a polar bear on it. My brother bugs me a lot. I don't like it. I tell him to stop, but he doesn't stop. I do not like my brother. He is bad. He scares me and hits me, and he calls me names. I got an eraser from Jill. It is purple and bright yellow. I like it a lot. I use it a lot. It is the best eraser in the world. It is, seriously. Entry number six, the tiniest sound in the world might be a buoy flotting in the water, the fog moving in front of my car, the wind moving in the world. I love the wind. A leaf falling on the grass. It is windy. Me pressing on my nose. I press real hard. Me putting on my glasses. I love it. Entry number seven. I'm very happy that I have teachers so love Belle. If I had a magic wand, I'd turn our school into a palace. I like to play hide and go seek. When I grow up, I want to be a vegetarian. Three words that describe me are gentle, funny, and scary.
Oh, if I had only known about the toenail fairy when I was 5 years old. This is Grown Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. I'm Dan Meisner. And what strikes me about a lot of this writing is just how self-conscious it is. Maybe it's because many of us grew up reading The Diary of Anne Frank in school, or because of television shows like The Wonder Years, where a grown-up Daniel Stern wistfully narrates the childhood of a young Fred Savage. A lot of childhood and teenage writing carries a particular tone, a kind of self-importance. There's this idea that the writer is capturing a moment for the benefit of all future generations and that someday their true genius and insight will be recognized. At our Halifax show, we heard a few examples of this. First up, here's Allison.
Hi. So a couple of things you should know. So first of all, I was writing in this diary and I thought if somebody found it, they would publish it because they'd say, wow, this is the voice of a real generation. People would see the problems I have and they would, you know, have the same problems. And then number two, I had a big crush on this guy, and the following are some entries about our highs and lows. Dear Diary, I have decided to ask Jeff out. Vanessa, Jamie, and Molly are backing me up on this. But there's one problem. Carly really likes him too, and she was pretty upset when she heard the news. She started banging her head on a locker saying, "Oh man." But the thing is, there's no way he would say yes, in parentheses, or maybe.
And if he did, I would die. He is so cute. Dear Diary, I asked Jeff out. Well, Vanessa did it for me, and this is what Vanessa said happened. Vanessa said, will you go out with Allison? Then he said, I would. It's just, I don't want to wreck our friendship. But tell her I think she's the most coolest and wickedest person. After Vanessa told me that, I felt so tingly and happy. So happy that on the way home from school, I cried because it was the nicest thing someone has ever said. And when I think about that, I started to cry. It's so pathetic. But I agree with Jeff. It would be better to keep our friendship. Dear Diary, wow, it's been a long time since I wrote in here. So what's happened in the last 20 days? Well, last night we had a dance, and of course, I didn't slow dance with anyone because Jeff has a girlfriend from Admiral. Guess what? She's a blonde, and like all Admiral girls, is blonde and horny. I really think I should get over him, but every time I see him, I'm head over feet. Love out. Love always, Allison Tweedy. And finally, when I filled out this book, I decided to really, like, you know, tell the whole story. Like, you know, this is the last page of the diary. Dear Diary, so this is it, the last page, a whole book of my thoughts and feelings have finally been completed. This is a very big accomplishment for me. There's no way it would be found and be, like, published, but who cares? So you met me at 13, and now I'm 14. I feel when I end this entry, I will leave a friend who is always gonna listen, and whoever reads this, even if it's me, I hope this book could be a whole story. And to any teenager who has a low self-esteem, I hope you may learn something. So to close, always smile, think about what makes you feel bad, stay true to yourself, and stay cool, as I always do. Love, Allison Tweedy, age 14. Thank you.
In her diary, Allison detailed the ups and downs of her relationship with Jeff, but our next reader, Janice, focused more on familial relationships, specifically an unexpected visit from an American relative.
July 29th. Today I went around home doing normal stuff, but it all changed when I found out that Susanna, my cousin I have never seen before, is coming tomorrow. July 30th. Today we picked up Susanna at the ferry. August 6th. Today Susanna and I played Barbies. It was boring. Of course it rained. August 8th. Today we went for a bike ride all around. Susanna sometimes is a snob. Americans, you know. August 10th, today we went to Kentville. We bought a cottage in Pugwash. We ate at Harvey's, then we went home. Today we tidied out the whole house for our cousins coming from Scotland. Mum got mad at me for heating up rolls. Colin said I could. Mum threw a container of Pine Sol at me. August 16th. Today, Dad, Hugh, Maureen, Leslie, and Andrew took Susanna to the ferry. I didn't, ha ha. And at the end of the diary, I have a little epilogue, just a little note. It says, this diary will be buried with all of my other diaries when I die. My friends or kids will solve a mystery to get them if they want them.
I followed up with Janice, and she reports that she has given up on that plan. Her diaries are now safely stored in a dark closet inside a large plastic bag. Janice wasn't the only one, though, who put a lot of thought into who might end up reading or wanting to read her diaries. At our Halifax show, Veronica read a very specific request to the person who ends up reading her diary.
To whoever finds this book, I would dearly appreciate if you would go to 40 Lind Avenue. You will find, under a piece of earth, a box of gold coins. They will be yours. Do not forget them, but do not spend them foolishly. Sincerely yours, Veronica Simmons McAdam.
I checked in with Veronica, and yes, there really was a box of coins buried in the yard near her childhood home. It was a collection of coins from around the world that used to belong to her uncle. And as far as Veronica knows, it's still there. It's not just kids who believe that they will one day grow up to be well-known authors and have their childhood writing studied in classrooms around the world. Sometimes parents play a role in recognizing and fostering young writers. Here's Jordy.
When I was a kid, my mom thought that it was my special destiny to one day be a famous author. And to encourage me, when I was 14, she brought me a writer's journal. So I want to read a couple pieces from that, and then I'll read something that came a bit later. The exuberant feeling of my passion can only be described as basketball. It is the tough streets of New York and the rural gyms of Indiana. Let me dare to dream my dream, and let my heart echo the rhythmic beat of the sport I love. Basically, I'd seen Hoosiers and like Basketball Diaries, but I wasn't a total narcissist. This one's not about me, and it has a title. It's called Die, D-I. The child's eyes closed to not see the princess and her tragedy. So many supported her cause. Outraged we are by her loss. Why do we blame, though? After all, she left with so much to show. Like petals of flowers, minutes turn to hours. The world says goodbye. The child asks, why? And honestly, like, I didn't even really care about Princess Diana, but like, it was an important cultural event, and other people around me were, you know, mourning. So I thought that the people of Britain would appreciate my words of solace. But so some years went by, and I got deeper into high school, and my special destiny to me to be a famous author was becoming confirmed. So I gradually became a bit more preoccupied with writing in my diary. So I'm going to read an entry from my diary, because I thought that one day someone would be, you know, studying me and wanting to know about where those poems came from. I want to marry Sarah. Today, as I passed gloomily, tired, and late for class, we made eye contact. She then said, Jordy, in a funny, male-like voice. For reference, I have been passing her in the halls the past 2 days and saying Sarah in that endearing, feminine joke voice of mine. Not only did her response show her wealth of humor, it demonstrated the impact I can have on her. On the flip side, Megan is hollowing. Tonight on the phone, we talked prom, but I was interrupted by a call she had to take. It was Scott. I don't know why he intimidates me so much around Megan, but he's some form of nemesis. Petty things like her calling shotgun in John's car for prom killed me. I pictured us conspiring and loving each other in the back seat. Sarah absolves pain. We will rendezvous at prom.
Jordy is a writer today, and after the show, we ducked out onto Gottingen Street to talk about why kids sometimes take themselves so seriously in their diaries.
I think it's just this sense of trying to make the thing important and as meaningful as it feels. Like, I think that's why people can identify with this stuff so well, is that there is, you are walking around emoting in this sort of way, and you do feel that it's that significant and that important, so it makes it coherent in a way to go back and think of like, okay, and this will be important to somebody else someday, but right now it's super important to me.
I think Jordy's right. this stuff can come across as self-important or even egotistical, but maybe that's just a side effect of trying so hard to express yourself. Personally, I think part of the reason kids write like this, believing that they're the voice of a generation, comes back to that desire for continuity. We want to believe that there's a through line to our lives, and part of that means imagining the future and who we want to become, the effect that our lives might have on other people, the students who will one day study our diaries when we're long dead. Continuity means knowing where we came from, but it also means knowing where we're headed. And when you're young and you're not quite sure who you are yet, writing can help you figure that out. This is Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids. I'm Dan Meisner. Each week on our show, brave Canadians share their childhood and teenage writing in front of a room full of strangers. This week's show was recorded live in Halifax, Nova Scotia. In a lot of what people bring to our live shows, school looms large. As a kid, it's easy to feel overwhelmed by school and schoolwork and your teachers. That was certainly the case for Stephanie, who read from the school journal she kept at age 10.
We have a doozer of a social studies test Thursday. I sure hope I did better than I did on the last one. It was out of 20 and I got 12. I nearly went hysterical when I saw it. I'm used to getting 19s and 18s and 17s and 15s and so on. Today in science class, I worked on my graph to monitor the progress or contractment of each of my materials. Whew. It's hard to talk like that, but it makes me feel important. Last night was science fair. My project was on water. I didn't know grade fives weren't allowed to go in the citywide science fair. I'm mad about that because Mrs. Smith said she would have asked me to go in it if I wasn't in grade five. Sigh. Sometimes I really hate my grade. I bet I'm just as smart as any grade sixer in this classroom, but as usual, I can't do anything about it. Sometimes adults are unspeakably mean and cruel and unfair to us. Guess what? Today I made a homer in two-pitch. Isn't that great? Now, when I'm up to bat, people will move backwards and whisper amongst themselves. Heavy hitter! It's kind of like being admitted to the two-pitch Hall of Fame. Thank you.
One of the best things about our live shows is when parents get up on stage to read. I love watching adults who now have kids of their own revisit their childhood writing with the perspective that only parenthood can bring. Here's Raylene.
I'm almost 50 now and I have three children. So there came a point where I realized that I wanted to recapture that childhood feeling. So I did start reading my journal and I found things like, Dear Diary, I love playing Barbies, but I don't like Ken and Skipper. Barbie has funner dates when I steal Timmy's G.I. Joe. And I pretend he's Chachi from Happy Days. I think it's really important. I mean, it can't go unsaid about the importance of building up a child's self-esteem, and obviously I didn't have an issue with that. Dear Diary, I might be going to the Olympics because I got a gold badge in the fitness test in gym today. Obviously, we listen to the news a lot in our home because I also commented. Dear Diary, yesterday Alice Cooper fell off the stage. She broke 6 of her ribs. I wish it was Randy Newman. I punched Timmy. This is my younger brother. I punched Timmy today and he threw up. The dog ate it and Mom beat me. I hate Timmy because he ruins everything. And as a mom, I can really feel for what my mom must have gone through. Dear Diary, I don't keep secrets, so today for show and tell, I said Daddy was neutered.
That's Grown-Ups Read Things They Wrote as Kids for this week. Our show was recorded live at the Company House in Halifax, Nova Scotia, and produced by Allison Roverman and me, Dan Meisner. Our music is by Lullatone. You can listen to this and every other episode of our show at the website, cbc.ca/grownups. That's also where you can subscribe to our totally free weekly podcast. And if all of this sounds like fun and you want to know when we're coming to your town for a live event, sign up for our mailing list. It's the best way to find out about upcoming shows, get tickets, and sign up to read. You can join the mailing list at our website, grownupsreadthingstheywroteaskids.com. That's grownupsreadthingstheywroteaskids.com. You know, we are always on the lookout for a new catchphrase for the show, something we can use to explain it to people who aren't necessarily familiar with the concept. And I think this week we may have found our catchphrase. Let's try it out. Grown-ups read things they wrote as kids.
Sometimes adults are unspeakably mean and cruel and unfair to us.
I'm Dan Meisner. Thanks for listening.